Our fourth reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Well, Merry Christmas. Look forward to celebrating through this service. It's been a great service. Look forward to the rest of it. I wanted to spend a few minutes thinking about John's gospel. And what we just read in John chapter 1, we might say is John's version of the Christmas story. Now, it's not the version we usually think of when we hear the word Christmas story, because John lacks some of the details of the other gospel. There's no mention of wise men. There's no mention of Mary and Joseph. Some of the stories that we tell around Christmas time. And yet, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, is probably the most concise and one of the most powerful summaries of Christmas that you can find in the Bible. What is it all about? And so in his own way, John, in this first chapter, gives us, you might say, the ABCs of Christmas. The what, the why, the how, right? What is it all about? What happened? Why did it happen? And how should we respond? And that's what I want to think on briefly with you tonight. What happened first? Let's talk about that. What is Christmas all about? Well, we really want to get to verse 14. But let's back up and start where John does in verse 1. In the beginning, he says, was the Word. We're introduced to the Word. Now, that echoes Genesis chapter 1. You may know the first verse of the Bible is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so John starts the story of Jesus way back about as far as you can go, right? All the way back to the very beginning, eternity past, before creation itself. And he says this Word was with God in verse 1. That word with, meaning there's a relationships of sorts. The Word is distinct from God. It's not the same exactly as God. And yet we also read in verse 1, the Word was God. And in the Greek text, it's actually emphatic. It actually reads, God was the Word. Everything that God was, the Word was. And in verses 2 to 4, he gets more specific on that. The Word is part of he's the creator. All things have come through him. The Word is from eternity. The Word has life in himself. Everything that God is, the Word is. So the Word is both distinct from God, but also one with God, shares the essence of God. Now, at this point, we don't know who the Word is. John hasn't told us. In verses 6 through 8, he tells us who it's not. It's not John. It's not John the Baptist, right? John came to bear witness to this Word, but is not himself the Word. And then in verse 9, there's this striking statement, the true light, of course, referring to the Word, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. What The Word who made the world is going to enter the world. The Creator enter the creation. Could that be what he's saying? Well, we get to verse 14. Yes, that is what he's saying. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When he says that the Word became flesh, that word flesh is, of course, a reference in this context to our humanity. The Word put on our humanity. One who was all that God is became all that man is. And when he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, you may know that that word dwelt there could also refer to pitching a tent. The word pitched a tent, or another way this is translated, is tabernacled among us. And of course, John is referencing the Old Testament here, how in the Old Testament, God dwelt with his people at the tabernacle. It was a tent. God said, make a tent. And at the end of Exodus, after the tent was made, we're told that God's glory, his visible glory cloud, fell upon the tent, and everyone could see the glory of God dwelling with his people at the tabernacle. So John is saying something amazing here. Now the glory of God, his presence among us, is not to be found at the tabernacle. It's the Word who has come and now dwells among us. We see his glory. That's what John says. We have seen his glory. And then finally, after all of this, in verses 14 to 17, we find out who the Word is. It's the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. Right? He says, the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And from this point in John's gospel, there's no more mention of the Word. He talks of Jesus, for Jesus is the Word who was made flesh. So what is Christmas all about? Again, what is it? In Jesus, God has put on flesh and dwelt among us. What is Christmas all about? In the birth of Jesus Christ, the God who created the world, the God who created all of us, has entered the world. The Christmas claim is Emmanuel. God is with us. God has visited us, right? The Most High has come down to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, what that means is that tomorrow we're celebrating the birth of God who's come down to us. Really important to remember that. Most Americans still believe, you know, big national surveys early this year, most people agree that Jesus is a great teacher, but he's not God. Now, if that's actually true, one, you can't believe the Bible, because that's the opposite of what John has just said. It's the opposite of what the Bible says. But actually, it means Christmas isn't really that good news. If Jesus is just another man who tells us about God, there's no really good news. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus is God come down to man. And that's why we celebrate. That's what Christmas is all about. God has come to us. And just take a moment before we move on and just think on that for a minute, marvel on that. The incarnation is truly a mystery, and it's a miracle that is so much bigger than we can fully understand. The fullness of God in helpless babe. Just think on that. God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. It's one of our Christmas hymns. Just think on that. The magnitude of what happened, the Word becoming flesh. That's what it's about. But John doesn't just tell us what it's about. He tells us why. Why did it happen? And that's important too. If all we know about Christmas is what happened, but we don't know why it happened, then the joy of Christmas will be elusive to us. The good news of Christmas is not just what happened. It's not just that the Word became flesh, but why he became flesh. We need to understand that. And the fundamental answer that is given throughout the Bible is that the incarnation, the Word became flesh for us. Jesus came down from heaven because that was necessary for our salvation. There's lots of ways the Bible speaks of this. We've been going through the Gospel of Luke on Sundays here at Sojourn, and even in the infancy narrative of Luke, we read several things. Why did Jesus come? Why did this child come? He came to be a redeemer. We needed to be redeemed. He came that we might be shown mercy. He came that we might know the forgiveness of sins. These are all reasons why the Word had to become flesh, which of course implies that unless Jesus came,
none of those realities would be true about us, right? If we could have the forgiveness of sins by being a really good person or whatever, there would be no reason for Jesus to have come to give us something we already had. He had to come because it was necessary. The Word was made flesh to accomplish something for us we cannot accomplish on our own. And I just want to point out quickly two realities that John highlights in chapter 1 here, two realities that Jesus came to bring to us that we would not have without him. One is the fullness of life. The Word became flesh so that we can have fullness of life. Notice how it says in verse 3 that the in him was life. In the Word was life, and that light was the light of men. Right? Life is a major theme in John's gospel. It shows up again and again. Kids, you may know one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, John 3:16. Right? God sent his son into the world that we would not perish but have everlasting life for all who believe in him. Or John 10, I have come. Why did I come? I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. So Jesus came to bring life, not just physical life, spiritual life, the fullness of life, eternal life, the life that we were created for. Jesus came to bring that to us, which of course means that the life we live now in this present world is not the life. It's not the fullness of life that we should have. If we already had access, we might say, to eternal life, why would Jesus have needed to come? He came because we did not. And of course, we know that our life now is not fullness of life. Genesis 3, we live in the world that is under the curse of sin, the veil of tears, a world of darkness. John talks about darkness. The light had to come because there's darkness in the world. It's a world of sadness, anxiety, fear, depression. It's a world where people die. Right? We will all die. We don't have the abundant life we were created for. That's not how God created us. Jesus came to restore us to life, abundant life, everlasting life, the fullness of life, present and for all eternity. He came so that we could say, as we often do in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the life everlasting. That is a hope. It's certain. It's real. So Jesus came to bring us life, and John also reminds us here that Jesus had to come so that we could be children of God. Do you notice that right in the heart of the section? Many did not receive Jesus, but he says to all who did receive him, this is verse 12, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus came, the Word became flesh so that you and I could be children of God. Now, of course, again, that means that without Jesus, we are not children of God. I think it's important to say that. It's very common to hear things today like, well, everyone is God's child. And there's a certain general truth to that, right? We're all created by God. All people are created in the image of God. Everybody is worthy, has inherent worth and dignity by virtue of being created by God in his image. And so, yes, it's true. Everyone has a personal relationship with God, if we want to use that phrase, just not necessarily as father. One of my seminary professors used to say it like this: everyone has a personal relationship with God, either as a condemned criminal before a judge or as a forgiven sinner and an adopted child. And it's only because Jesus came that any of us have any hope that we can be an adopted child, that we can be in that latter category. Because our natural state, Bible's very clear on this, as sinners, is we are not children of God. We are estranged from God. We are hostile to God. We are God's enemies. And what we need is to be reconciled to God. That is why Jesus had to come. That's why the incarnation matters, because through the Word who became flesh, we can be reconciled because of his work, because of his death, because he reconciles us to the Father. And now, because of Jesus, to all who receive him, who believe in his name, we really can live with confidence that we are children of God, that God really is our Father, that we don't meet a righteous and holy judge, we meet a loving and merciful Father. And that's an incredible reality. You know, this isn't a sermon on adoption, but it really will change your life. I believe if you really live with confidence that God is your Father, you're a child of God, the most powerful, all-creator God is your Father who knows you, who loves you, who will care for you, who provides for you, who will protect you. That's a life-changing reality. Jesus came that we might be children of God and live with that confidence. So that's why. What? The why. And then very quickly, how? How do you respond? Right? The Christmas announcement is good news. That's what the gospel is. You may know that the word gospel just means good news. You know, Christianity is fundamentally a message that is good news. It's not good advice. It's not, you know, do a bunch of different things and God will love you. It's not any of those things. It's an announcement. This is what God has done. Christianity begins with a momentous declaration of what God has done. Not what we must do, but what God has done for us. How do you respond to an announcement? Well, the only thing you really can do is receive it and believe it. Right? That's how John wants us to respond. How do we respond to this? We receive it and believe it. And without that, there'll be no joy either. Right? As I mentioned on Sunday at the sermon, if we could hear this story 1,000 times, and it may not make a difference to us if we do not receive it and believe it. If we do not make this child our own through faith. And of course, that's what John is writing for us, wants us to do, to all who received him. How do we receive him? We believe in his name. We trust him. We put our faith in him. So can I ask as we finish, do you believe that in Jesus, God came to us? Do you believe that God came, the Word became flesh? Now, maybe some find that hard to believe, and I'll quote an author, a Christian author here, as hard as it may be for some to believe that God would come to earth, it may be just as difficult not to. Why, if he were all powerful, could he not have done it? And why, if he were really all loving, would he not have done it? And do you believe that in Jesus, God came for us? Not just to us, but for us. He came to do what we could not do for ourselves. He came that we might have mercy, forgiveness, salvation, redemption, the fullness of life, be adopted as sons. John wrote that we might believe, and by believing have life in his name. So put your trust in this child. Don't put your trust in yourself, your good works, your good intentions. Put your trust in this child. Hold out the hand of faith. Receive what Christ has done. You will know great joy. And I'll finish tonight just with words from one of my favorite preachers, Charles Spurgeon, in an address he gave, I think, in 1854 to his congregation on Christmas Eve. This might surprise you because you may know Spurgeon had a little bit of a mixed relationship with celebrating Christmas, but at the end of the day, he did understand that rejoicing at Christ's birth is a good thing. And so I leave you with his words. Now, a happy Christmas to you all, and it will be happy if you have God with you. Feast, Christians, feast. You have a right to feast. Go to the house of feasting tomorrow. Celebrate your Savior's birth. Do not be ashamed to be glad. You have a right to be happy. Go your way, rejoice tomorrow, but in your feasting, think of the Son in Bethlehem. Let him have a place in your hearts. Give him the glory. Think of the virgin who conceived him, but think most of all of the Son born, the child given. I finish by again saying a happy Christmas to you all. Amen.